Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I hope you had a great weekend. It was hot out here. We had the best baseball series of the year, Dodgers-Padres. Watched all three games. Incredible baseball series. I know it's early and none of these games matter. God, was there a lot of good players on the field. Loaded.
It doesn't matter anymore. We went without sports.
I was for months. I sat there.
We'll never take it for granted again.
I opened up a Stella every day.
Stella.
And I just sat there and watched baseball. I watched Jake Paul fight.
Well, that wasn't a very long fight. No. It was a year ago today that The Last Dance came out. I saw Complex tweeted it. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Joy, that to our audience listening. So Joy and I, hardworking journalists, basically had to grab shovels and dig our way out of a pandemic from a content standpoint. And I'm telling you, we got so lucky as a company. We got so lucky. First of all, Brady got traded.
Yep.
That gave us like 12 shows. And then the documentary from Jordan gave us 30 shows. Can you imagine if Brady stays in New England and Michael Jordan is paying us 20 years after? I don't know how we would have gotten. So like now, I stay home on the weekends. I have never watched more sport. I'm watching everything.
Yeah, you will never take it for granted again.
So I want to start with this. Being in my mid-50s, I think there's a certain responsibility I have to offer context to stuff. A 20-year-old or a 30-year-old doing what I do just hasn't lived as long. You know, so when I listen to a 25 or a 35-year-old sportscaster and they get all worked up over something that's happened a million times, I'm not critical of them. I get it. That's what I was like at 25. But I can add context to stuff. You know, in America, over the next couple of days, we could have some civil unrest. I'm not rooting for it. It could happen. But we had it in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We've had it every decade. And we get through it. We get through it. It's sad. It's ugly. We get through it. Like, I've seen it my whole life. And there's certain things in sports that, I mean, we keep falling for lying politicians, conspiracy theories. People were falling for this crap in the 60s, 70s, 80s. I know my stepdad was. Okay? My dad didn't. My stepdad did. And so, you know, I'm looking at sports right now, and this doesn't rise or isn't analogous to the other stuff I talked about, but we do fall for pretty. But pretty only wins championships when it's tough. Michael Jordan was pretty, but he was tough. Kobe was pretty, but he was tough. The Kansas City Chiefs were pretty, but they weren't really tough, and Tampa Bay swatted them. Gonzaga was pretty. Baylor could be pretty, but they were tough. The Brooklyn Nets were all falling for them. I've seen this so many times. We're falling for pretty. They're not tough. Their guys can't stay healthy. They're kind of flaky. They don't play defense. They don't have a rim protector. Their coaches weren't tough guys, Nash and Mike D'Antoni. So Kevin Durant got hurt again. Of course he did. Kevin Durant in the last 700 days has played 24 games. And in four of those he left, he got hurt. He's not even old. He's 32. He broke his foot at 26 at Oklahoma City. Tore his Achilles in his late 20s. Tore it again in like 30, 31, 30 years old. He's just not dependable physically. He's a gifted player, but I don't even know, to be honest with you, I don't even know how we're going to define him in the end. Just super talented, but never healthy. And he's not old. But Brooklyn is becoming what they should become, what they are. Kevin Durant's not healthy. Kyrie plays when he wants to. James Harden is unbelievable in the regular season. They are the classic pretty team. Pretty can win when it also is tough. They're not tough. They don't play defense. They don't man you up. They want to win three-point shooting contests. I mean, Kyrie Irving has made the playoffs six times. Twice, He hasn't even played in the playoffs because he's hurt. Another time, he left in the middle of it because he was hurt. 50% rate of getting through the playoffs. And by the way, if you take LeBron out of Kyrie's career and you just go Duke, Cleveland pre-LeBron, Boston, and Brooklyn, he's always hurt or doesn't feel like playing. Well, of course that's what they become. That's what he is. And so when I look at all this stuff, we have this Steven Strasburg in baseball. Brilliant, can't stay healthy. Garoppolo, really talented, can't stay healthy. Of course Kevin Durant's hurt. He's always hurt. This is who he is. Genetically, some guys, LeBron, until the last year or two, was a freak. They just never get hurt. Tom Brady, kind of a freak. Michael Jordan, 82 games, played hard, smoked cigars, drank wine, would literally, in the offseason, play hard, golf, 36 hole, one injury. So, Brooklyn is exactly what doesn't win championships. Flaky, injury-prone, pretty, not tough. They're going to win a lot of games in the regular season. It's a lot like the Phoenix Suns when Steve Nash played for them. God, they were pretty. But in the end, they couldn't stop anybody down low. It's exactly what Brooklyn is. Brooklyn has had their hands full with Andre Drummond. He has owned them all year. If they can't stop Andre Drummond, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, LeBron, I feel bad for Kevin Durant because he is an unbelievable all-time talent. But of course he's hurt. Of course he's on the mend. That's who he is. We fall for it every time. All right, so Mike Lombardi is a pretty smart guy. Used to work here. Former NFL guy with Bill Belichick. He says, listening to media people, they're like weathermen. It changes every hour. He says, the San Francisco 49ers, they are taking either Mac Jones or Trey Lance. They will not take Justin Fields out of Ohio State. All right, I'm not here to argue about that. I would, but I'm not here to argue. So if this is true, and Peter King is saying the same thing, they're not going to take Justin Fields. It's going to be Mac Jones. If not, it's Trey Lance. So if the Jags, Jets, and Niners are taking Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones, that leaves what I believe are two incredible prospects, Justin Fields and Trey Lance. These kids are big, strong, athletic, arms, win their games, absurdly productive, don't throw interceptions. And you look at the draft, 4 through about 14, nobody needs a quarterback except Denver. So my guess is we're going to have a major trade with the Bears moving up, Washington moving up, New England moving up. But it's really interesting. Atlanta is in a power position at number 4. So look at that board right now, 4. I think it's idiotic for Atlanta to take a quarterback. Number 1, Matt Ryan is their life preserver. He's the only thing they have. He's Derek Carr and the Raiders. He's all they have. Passing yards, completion attempts. He leads the NFL last 4 years. He's not the issue. And he's got a good young group of offensive linemen and wide receivers. Also, he's getting a new offensive coach, so his numbers will go up. Also, at number 4, you can get Kyle Pitts, the single best player in the draft outside of Trevor Lawrence. So his numbers will go up. I think it's idiotic to draft a quarterback. But there are arguments to be made. Here's the argument for Atlanta. It's a quality versus quantity argument. Somebody is going to make an offer to Atlanta at 4. I'm sure they already have. So San Francisco, by moving up to 3, had to give up 3 first-rounders and a third-rounder. So Atlanta probably gets at least 2 first-rounders and a second or third or fourth-rounder, minimum. That's a lot of quantity. Or they can just draft Kyle Pitts, which is quality. So when you look at Atlanta, it does look complicated. You could get a boatload of picks. Do we draft a quarterback and sit him? What do we do with Matt Ryan? Just ask yourself this. In your life, I do this with my daughter all the time, and we were hanging out this weekend. My wife's gone. We were hanging out. We had a lot of arguments, and I try to simplify everything. And I've always had this say it out loud theory. Ask yourself this. Would you rather in life have guaranteed quality or speculative quantity? I want guaranteed quality. So if I can get Kyle Pitts at 4 with Matt Ryan, with the receivers, with a new offensive coach, I'll take that. Now, are there times I would take speculative quantity? Maybe if you're in New England, you have six Super Bowls, your fan base is willing to see you swing for the fence. Or if you had like a Hall of Fame GM who had a history of just crushing the draft. But Atlanta's got a new coach and a first-year general manager. They don't have that. And if I walked into a job and I was a new general manager and I'd never been a general manager, and if I screw this up, I'll never be a GM again, and it's a seven-figure job, and you offered me speculative quantity or guaranteed quality, I would take Kyle Pitts. I would say, I'm a GM. I'm going to get a Hall of Fame tight end with a guy, Matt Ryan, who's going to get Hall of Fame votes, with a new clever offensive coordinator in kind of a weird division where when Brady leaves eventually, you know, there's no certainties in this division. Breeze is out. Brady's old. Carolina's rebuilding. So this argument for Atlanta, it looks like there's a million options. But if you were a first-year general manager at a car lot, if you're a first-year general manager of an NFL team at a casino, ask yourself, speculative quantity or guaranteed quality? To me, I take Kyle Pitts. It just feels like I could go to bed at night and go, speculation makes me anxious. You know, that's why I'm not a Bitcoin guy. I'm probably going to miss out on a fortune, a Dogecoin, a Bitcoin. I'll just buy my IBM, my Apple, my DocuSign. I'm just going to go and get, you know, Shopify. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to invest in Nike and Starbucks and just be the most boring guy in the world. But I prefer going to bed at night with guaranteed quality. I don't think it ever goes out of style. I think you sleep better at night. And I don't want to keep pushing stuff down the road if I'm a first-year GM.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You've heard the saying before, people will tell you who they are. Believe them. So everybody that I trust, Jeff Darlington, Schefter, our people, Peter King, Mike Lombardi, there's a lot of trustable people. Mac Jones, 49ers third. People will tell you who they are. Believe them. So take the 49ers. There's two organizations in the NFL that do big things and you never hear about it. Nothing leaks. Colts, 49ers. When John Lynch took the job, do you remember the story? We looked it up this morning. Lynch wanted to make sure that if he worked for the 49ers, nothing leaked. And his quote was, I made a big deal. None of this stuff better leak that I'm getting the job. Remember when Lynch got the 49er job? He worked for us at Fox. It shocked the world. Nothing got out. That's pretty big. John Lynch becomes a GM first time. That's like magic to the Lakers. Nothing got out. Then Lynch is there. He makes a deal for Jimmy Garoppolo. Shocked us all. Nothing got out. Then they traded for Trent Williams. Kind of a big deal. First ballot Hall of Fame left tackle. Nothing got out. Then they traded up to number 3 in the draft. Shocked us all. Nothing got out. Now I'm supposed to believe the Niners are a small town gossip. And the Mac Jones thing leaked a month ago. And everybody's got it. That feels a little bit too convenient for me. This is an organization that has made huge franchise-altering moves. And none of it leaked. Jay Glazer, Peter Schrager, Chef had nothing. Nothing. And I'm talking getting a quarterback, getting a GM, Hall of Fame left tackle, massive trade up. Nothing leaks. And now you want me to think it's a barbershop. Everybody's just in there talking and really hear this gossip, hear that gossip. I don't buy it. It's just too convenient that Mac Jones of the Niners leaked 6 weeks ago. Not to one person. It leaked to like 10 different reporters. That's too much information. What's the value of this being out? The value is the Niners are letting people know they want Mac because maybe the Patriots also love Mac. I'm speculating here, but it's just very weird to me. Some people can't shut up. Some people keep a secret. And it's hard. The people I know that are gossipy, I love them, but there are certain things I'm not going to tell them. The people I know that can keep a secret, I'll tell secrets. And it's just, you know, just some people like to talk. Some people don't. And Joy, you've had friends like that. There's some friends that you go to Vegas and have a good weekend with, and then there's other friends you call in crisis. There's some friends you tell things to, and it's going to get out. So you just, over time, don't tell them stuff. And I think all these Niners, Mac Jones stuff, it's too available. It's too convenient. Everybody knows it. Too many leaks for an organization like Indianapolis hasn't leaked anything on major moves for 3 years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
KD's hurt again. Brooklyn has questions. Kevin Durant, in the last 26 games he's played, has left injured in six of them. He hasn't played in seven straight games in 2 years. I never bought into the he's the next LeBron or he's superior to LeBron. LeBron is the emotional, physical rock of this league. Kevin Durant is simply talented. But of course he's banged up and injured again. This is his career. Broke his foot mid-20s, Oklahoma City. You know, he's 7 feet and thin, runs the floor, gets banged up easily. It's one of the reasons I don't see Brooklyn winning a title.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Mac Jones hype tour continues. Peter King and Mike Lombardi both tied in. They're saying the Niners are taking him at number three. You know, and they're both plugged in. It's funny. It used to be that playing just 1 year as a starter, that was considered a real risk. So he's got the lowest ceiling, a college DUI. He played 1 year. He's the least athletic. His arm is average, and he's going three, and the Niners gave up 4 picks to get a 1 year starter. There are so many red flags with Mac Jones that in my life would push you out of the first round, and it's moved him up. Not to mention he plays for Alabama. None of their quarterbacks have worked. There's like 9 red flags. I don't get it.
Where Colin was right.
A month ago, I said the Lakers should not rush AD and LeBron back. Why? The bottom half of the NBA is so rancid, you can go 500 without these guys. And the Lakers have won 7 of 12, and they're still a number 5 seed in the Superior West. They beat the Jazz Saturday. Listen, I don't blame the Lakers. LeBron, I was told, wanted to come back 2 weeks in, and the Lakers are like, slow down. AD's a little more chill. He enjoys the time off. But if you don't lose your position in the standings, and AD is brittle and LeBron is old, what is the point? What's the win in rushing them back? The Lakers are what we thought they would be when they left. Good enough to hang.
Where Colin was right.
I said before the season, and I know a lot of you think I'm not a baseball guy, but I actually watch a lot of it in the regular season and just don't talk about it. I said, are the Dodgers potentially the best baseball team in the last 20 years? It looks like it. Forget the wins. Yeah, they lead baseball in that. They lead in run differential almost double the next team. They're off to the best start ever for a World Series champion. They're not even playing Cody Bellinger, who's a former MVP and Rookie of the Year. Mookie Betts missed several games. If Clayton Kershaw's like your 3 starter, Trevor Bauer, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, their bullpen's a little bit of a concern, not a gigantic concern, but top to bottom, this is as good a baseball team as I have seen since the Yankees in the late 90s.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are not only working, when they play together, they're 27-6. You got to give Doc Rivers credit. This is what he did at Boston. He takes egos. He takes stars. Rondo was difficult. You know, Paul Pierce, KG, Ray Allen just made it work. Philadelphia has been so uneven the last few years. And I don't even think Ben Simmons and Embiid's games work. But right now, they really match up with Brooklyn. They match up with Miami. They match up with Milwaukee. It's a really good basketball team. They're number two in the NBA defensively. They can score. I still think they need one more three-point shooter, but Ben Simmons is having a remarkable year, and Joel Embiid pretty much scores whenever he feels like it.
Where Colin was right?
I had my doubts day one with John Gruden. Go ahead and coach. Stay out of personnel. He falls in love with players. That is a no-no if you're a general manager. Last week, NFL.com graded the last five drafts. Gruden and the Raiders are dead last. And that's using the Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper first-round picks. So they had a lot of first-rounders, and they're still last. This is my knock on Gruden. He can coach. I don't doubt that. He and Derek Carr have some symmetry. It works. Get him out of personnel. I can remember when we worked together at the other place. Johnny Manziel, number one pick. The good teams took Johnny Manziel off their board. He fell in love with Henry Ruggs and his speed. Coaches have to love their players because they interact with them all day. General managers, they're up in the executive suites. They just need to like players. My concerns about Gruden are coming to reality.
Where Colin was wrong.
I didn't like when the Knicks hired Tom Thibodeau. I thought, oh, good Lord. Workaholic, grinder, retread. But I'll say this, the Knicks are playing great. How about Julius Randle, who has really become a decent three-point shooter? He was productive for the Lakers, but he couldn't shoot. And he'd end up with 18 points, 55% field goal. He's kind of a poor man Zion. But he never a great ball handler, never a great shooter. Now he can shoot. He leads the NBA in minutes played. Super productive. RJ Barrett, who Joy liked in college, has become a great young player. Derrick Rose is working. So I never thought Thibodeau would work. I thought he would wear these guys out, but the Knicks play hard. RJ Barrett's a star. Julius Randle is playing like one. D. Rose has found his spot on the roster. Number six in the East. And by the way, playoffs are always better in the East if the New York Knicks are involved, even if they're out in four games. Nothing like Madison Square Garden for the NBA playoffs.
Where Colin was right.
I've said before, there's three or four players only in the NBA who I think are not only gifted, but leaders. Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, LeBron, not just talented, they change the win totals in the standings. Steph Curry's on fire. 39 points last 10 games. This is the hottest he's ever been in his career. And that's saying something. 75% of NBA stars a couple years ago would have taken Westbrook over him. He's never gotten the respect. Not only is he one of the smartest players in league history, he changed the game. But you're seeing now his impact. When he doesn't play, this is an awful team. They're awful. They're 1-7. That's the same with Jimmy Butler. We saw Miami when Jimmy wasn't playing. They were bad. He plays, they can beat anybody. So there's only about four guys in the league like this. Chris Paul, LeBron, Jimmy Butler, Steph. They're beyond talented. It's not just talent. They elevate everybody around him, and Steph's playing, believe it or not, as well as he's ever played.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't get pro days. I think they're nonsense. You're just throwing to air and college teammates. But now, not only are pro days being taken seriously, now guys are doing two. Justin Fields, two. Trey Lance, two. You know, the combine got ditched in Indianapolis. Maybe this is the future. I still think watching the tape of a college player play and then sitting down and interviewing him for about 15, 20 minutes feels like 99% of it. All pro days are is college kids throwing to the receivers. It's like what you do in the summer. It's just a relaxing, no pads, no helmet, no audible, not being chased, no fear of getting hit. But they're getting more popular. Not less. They're getting more popular among smart NFL people.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Learn more about football from Jimmy Johnson than any person I've ever known. Hall of Fame NFL coach, great college coach, one of the great personnel evaluators. And yes, I give him a ton of credit. Nobody in this league made trades. Nobody until Jimmy Johnson. And now, if you don't make trades like the Bengals, we think you're cuckoo. Now, if you have to make trades, or we think you're all, it'd be like being an NBA player that couldn't shoot a 3-point shot. What's wrong with you? And Jimmy started that avalanche, and frankly, as a sportscaster, it makes it a lot more fun. And Jimmy is now joining us live. You know, it is funny about all these guys and all these trades. So when you went and you said, here's my best player, I'm going to trade him. Did Jerry Jones say, Jimmy, nobody, what do we do? I mean, did you get any pushback from Jerry?
Not really. You know, the first couple of years, well, in fact, the first 4 years, you know, Jerry was spending all of his time, you know, trying to pay off that $140 million loan. And so he really didn't mess with the football a whole lot. Now, he paid it off after 4 years. And so after 4 years, he wanted to get involved with football.
Yeah, I get that. So let me talk about pro days. I've always kind of rolled my eyes a little bit at him, but, you know, you don't have a combine now, Jimmy, so some guys are having a second pro day. Do you remember ever going to a pro day and thinking, well, I wouldn't have seen that on tape?
No, I can't think of anything in particular, but Colin, the most important thing for me on pro days or even the combine was getting to know these players personally. I didn't want to draft anybody with a high pick unless I knew them personally unless I've been around them. Because we can all see, you know, in fact, I was talking to Matt Rule about it. I said, you know, the very first thing is, can he play? You know, I said, but then you've got to be able to predict, is he going to get better? You know, is he going to improve? And you know, the number one thing I'd say, you know, there's five characteristics that I look for, the intangibles, to see if he's going to get better. Number one is intelligence. You know, I said, hit me in the head with a hammer next time I take a dumb guy. You know, I said, you know, the second thing, I want a gym rat. I want somebody that works hard, you know, that loves to compete. You know, the third thing, I wanted a playmaker. You know, I don't know if you're a golfer or not, but, you know, when you're playing golf, there's certain guys that if they got a 6-foot putt, you know they're going to miss it every time. And there are certain guys with 6-foot putts, they're going to make it every time. Well, that's the playmakers I wanted, the guy that can make the basket. You know, and then the fourth thing I wanted, speed and quickness, and the fifth thing is character. You can't win championships with bums.
Yeah. No, it's true. You've always said that to me. I don't want dumb players. You got to be able to learn. And I think that's great. And I think we have smarter and smarter players as we go along, and they got better coaching. You know, Trevor Lawrence said something the other day. My initial feeling was, when he said, his dad said, listen, he could give up football today and he'd be happy. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. He's a happy kid. You know, I don't know. I mean, does that alarm you even 5%?
Not really. I wouldn't pay a whole lot of attention, you know, to what I read or what I hear. You know, I would concentrate on what I know. And that's one-on-one interviews, having dinner, having known the particular player for 3 or 4 years. And you know, I know Urban spent a lot of time with him, you know, back about 3 years ago. And so, you know, people have been following his career for a long time and they know him personally.
Yeah. You know, Atlanta's an interesting team. So I made the argument, if I was a first-year GM and the Falcons GM's a first-year GM, I would rather, if the first three picks are quarterbacks, I would rather take guaranteed quality Kyle Pitts than speculative quantity a billion draft picks. Because I think Matt Ryan's good enough with a great player around him. But Jimmy, you like trades. If you had Atlanta's number four pick, and Matt Ryan cost you a fortune for 2 years, you can't bail on him. It's dead cap money. Where would you go with Atlanta's number four pick?
Well, Colin, you remember a year ago at this time, you know, I said that Detroit should take the quarterback, you know, Herbert, you know. And so, you know, they said, hey, you're crazy. We've got a quarterback. We got Matthew Stafford. Well, you know, I think looking back, yeah, they probably would have been happy to take Herbert. Yeah. quarterbacks are valuable. If I was in Atlanta, you know, first of all, you know, you're going to receive a lot of phone calls as far as trading up to that pick. Now, I wouldn't trade very far, but if I got a bonanza type of offer, I could probably trade down a couple of spots and still get the player that I want. And then, you know, if a team balks on you, hey, I wouldn't be afraid if I was Atlanta to take one of those quarterbacks, call their bluff, you know, because you'll still get phone calls even after the draft. But I know you like Kyle Pitts, and he is an extraordinary athlete and player. I'd keep all my options open right now.
You know, Jimmy, it's funny, as a media person, there's only been three or four players. I say every year there's one kid, Chase Young, where you're like, okay, that right. He's going to work. Jimmy, in your history, how many players in the draft did you look at and think, barring an injury, he is can't miss? He will. I mean, did you feel like, boy, he can't miss?
Well, you know, I think you got to see, you know, what you're looking for. I would say, you know, there's probably, you know, I always felt like there was 20, 25 players that can't miss. Now, they may not be an All-Pro or they may not be a Hall of Famer, but they can't miss as far as helping your football team win.
Yeah.
I always looked at my picks and I'm saying, you know, for years everybody said take the best player available. I don't go that route. I want to take the best player available that helps our football team.
Right.
And if the best player available is not someone that really helps our football team, I'm going to move out of that pick if I can.
Right.
And then take somebody that's going to help our football team and they're the best player available at that particular pick.
Yeah. Cincinnati historically just doesn't make trades. And then we know the Pete Carrolls will make trades. When you were going down the draft board, let's say you're running a team right now, is there a list of teams that you would be like, okay, we can call these four, they'll get something done in 10 minutes? Did you know? Oh, who? Really?
Oh, without question. Yeah. I had speed dial on every team. And I remember, we were trying to trade out of the pick. It must have been my third year. I didn't want to take a receiver. I saw the best player available, but I didn't want to take a receiver. And so I called every team in the league trying to trade out of that pick. So Joe Gibbs said, hey, you know, we'll make a trade with you. And so we negotiated and we got the trade all done. And so Robert Blackwell was my man in New York. And I said, Robert, are they taking the pick up to the desk? He said, no. He said, I'm watching, you know, Washington and they're not moving. And I kept with their time, you know, clocks ticking. And so, you know, I called Joe back. I said, Joe, I said, what's the deal? You know, we're running out of time. He said, Jimmy, I'm sorry. He says, the old man won't let me trade with you guys. And so I was stuck, you know, because the time had run out. So I ended up picking Alvin Harper, who ended up helping us win a Super Bowl or two. But that's not what I wanted in that particular pick. I wanted to move down and maybe take Harper at a later pick.
So you had went fishing with Matt Rhule, and I said this. I really don't think Sam Darnold's been given a fair shake. Now, Sam, some of Sam's issues, he can be reckless. He was at USC. He was at New York. But you went on a fishing trip, and you get to know a guy when you fish with him or you golf with him or you have beers with him. What was your takeaway on what Sam Darnold now is inheriting?
Well, first of all, I did two of the three. I didn't play golf with him. But, yeah, I was extremely impressed with Matt Rhule. Very intelligent. He asked the right questions. I was very, very impressed. As far as Sam Darnold, you know, I think with Matt Rhule, I think with an outstanding offensive supporting cast, I think with Brady as his offensive coordinator, I'm going to be interested to see what Sam Darnold can do, because I know a lot of people, when Darnold came out, you know, a lot of them said he may be the best quarterback in that particular draft. So it does a couple of things for Carolina. It allows them now, if they want to take a quarterback, they can do it, because I guess they're going to trade Bridgewater, or they can take another player to add to their football team. Darnold gives him a little bit of a bonus there, and I'm expecting him to play well for him. I'm still a fan of Darnold.
You know, it's funny. There was always a rule with quarterbacks. Parcells said this years ago, I want like 30 starts. I don't want one year. Now, Mac Jones, 1 year. Trey Lance, not many starts. Could I say, though, Jimmy, could I say that used to be a rule, but the kids now get so many snaps in all these camps that 1 year, it doesn't really matter. A guy can play or he can't.
Hey, I agree with you, Colin. You know, he can play or he can't play. You know, Burrow, you know, how much did he play? And, you know, he's as good a prospect that has come out of college in a long time. Yeah, you know, so they're getting such great coaching. The style of offense really allows them to showcase their abilities. And so it doesn't bother me if he hasn't been a superstar, you know, ever since he was in high school. At a different position, maybe so. You know, Emmitt Smith was a superstar in high school. I tried to recruit him. He was a superstar in college. And his performance, even though he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't the biggest, his performance was such that we knew he was going to be a great player.
Yeah. By the way, in the draft stuff, as you accumulate all this stuff, I had a GM tell me years ago he liked drafting out of the SEC because he said they play in front of 100,000. It's a bunch of NFL guys. If a guy can be great on Saturday night in that conference, it's different than the Pac-12. Do you believe that big game performers in college matter?
Yeah, I think you can evaluate better, you know, from the Power Five, the big conferences. But Matt Rhule actually asked me that question. He said, does it bother you taking a player from a small school? And I said, the only thing that I look at and I try to evaluate, you know, taking a player from a small school that's not as competitive as maybe the Southeastern Conference or a Power Five team, is their upside is probably larger, you know, because they're probably not getting quite the coaching. For instance, you look at Alabama, Patrick Surtain right now, who I coached, his father drafted him. He is as well coached by his dad and in high school and in college as any cornerback in the entire country. And so, you know, he's a great player right now. But, you know, don't expect him to skyrocket from this performance because he's been well coached all his life.
That's a great point. Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, absolute pleasure. You look great. You look comfortable. Did you catch any fish when you went out? Did you catch anything?
We caught, you know, we got into some mahi-mahi, some schoolies. In fact, Matt's son, Bryant, you know, he caught him a couple of schoolies. So we had a good time, and then we came back to the house. It was fun.
Good for you.
You know, actually, everybody's getting vaccinated now, so they're wanting to get out of the house and travel without that big group I had last week.
Yeah.
They're about to wear me out.
Get some rest, Jimmy. Good seeing you.
All right, Colin.